Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. I'm Doug Hagman, of course. Eric the Tech is at the helm. With me is Dr. Richard Proctor. A Hagman Report where truth can't be silenced. Now, you might have thought that we got silenced yesterday. That's not the case. It's my apologies. Up until the last minute on Tuesday, I was hoping that I would be able to do the show. Because yesterday I had to testify in a court hearing in, elsewhere, out of state. And I figured that I would be able to handle both the show and testifying. Well, as it turns out, that wasn't the case. And, to be honest, I got back very, 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 very late last night. It's just been a tremendous, drain. I'll just say that it's been a tremendous drain. And, I apologize for not alerting people to the fact that we did not have a show. My apologies. But we didn't. But we're going to make up for it today. That much I can tell you. Because right now we're seeing, and we saw today a House vote on impeachment H.R. 41. I believe it is, H.R. 41 is the resolution. We're seeing a House vote on impeachment. We saw that. You're also looking at the push by Pelosi for the 25th Amendment to be invoked. Of course, yesterday, Vice President Pence came out and said, essentially, no. And in a way, biblically, hell no. The letter, of course, is available on the internet. Maybe. Who knows these days? The purge on social media continues. I believe that we are in a bumpy ride. But if you think that this is bumpy now, if you thought 2020 was a bumpy year, well, 2021 will be the equivalent, in my view, of here, hold my beer, watch this. Okay, that's what 2021 will be. The full force of the globalist state, the fascist globalist, communist globalist, will be will be coming down on our heads. It is a culture right now where if you support or have supported President Trump, but not really. Remember that meme, and it's on HagmanReport.com. They're not after me. In reality, they're after you, meaning us. That's exactly what's taking place today. And Richard Proctor is going to really carry this show and bring us up to date on what he believes based on his research, based on his historical knowledge, and put everything together. But here's the thing, folks. This is where I'm at because I've had so many phone calls. I've had so many emails saying, what is going on? You know, could it be that the last very moment we are going to see this massive insurrection. I mean, we have how many thousands of National Guard troops at the U.S. Capitol? You've got the fencing around the Capitol. Now look, folks, every inaugurations over the last, at least in modern history, when I say that, I'm talking subsequent to 01, this century anyway, that fencing has been there for these events, okay? But what hasn't necessarily been there is I'm choosing my words carefully, is the inordinate number of troops in the form of National Guard. I received a phone call. I don't know how true this is. Those who know don't talk, and those who talk oftentimes don't know. That some reservists have been called up. You see, unusual, or at least this is the consensus of uneducated, and that's a key thing, uneducated opinions of odd military activity going on throughout the country, Pacific Northwest. You've got this unusual Chinese slash Canadian mutual agreement for training troops up in Canada. There's that. Some in the Vancouver area. There's that. Is that unusual? Well, not necessarily. Do we know about that? Yes. But is it, when all of these facts are piled together, are we seeing something take place that we haven't seen before in our country's history? You know what? Again, those people who know aren't talking, and those people who don't know talk a whole lot. So where do we go from here? You know, who do we listen to? What is it? Well, the best we can do, in my view anyway, is to tap people with the knowledge, with the experience, and funnel that knowledge to you. And that's what this show is all about, because in actuality, we really don't know. And I want people to understand that. And the other thing, too, and before I bring Dr. Proctor on, is this. I contend, and it's something I wrote on Sunday, and it was published by Canada Free Press, or you can comment on it, and it's also published on HagmanReport.com, and I'd like you to read it. I contend that what has happened over the last several days is the fact that we have exposed those people who are controlling our nation. And I'm just going, I don't like to read on air, but I just want to read the first two brief paragraphs, I think maybe three or four sentences. And it goes like this. The countries under communist control, we see them, we know the countries that are under communist control. They crush corporations. They silence the company's CEOs for criticizing their governments. Right now in the U.S., we're witnessing the inverse of that. In communist countries, a state-run media exists. In the United States today, a media-run state exists. And by media, I'm including social media, everything connected to the internet and such. To me, it's a distinction without a difference, as both models result in the same or nearly identical crackdown of our freedoms. And our freedoms is what they're after. Notice people getting kicked off of airline flights, the corporations, Airbnb, and all the corporations that don't want your business if you are Make America Great Again, American Exceptionalism, American Patriot, or a nationalist, if you will. America first. They don't want your, in fact, not only don't they want your business, they don't want you to live. And that's a statement I believe is really, important to understand. It's not that they just don't want you to, they don't want your business. They don't want you to exist. It's their world, not yours. They get to make the rules, not you. And they want to crush you. And CEOs of corporations, specifically the big tech companies, they're the ones that are controlling the levers of power by silencing those who have been elected by the people. Never has it been so obvious as it was this past weekend. Now, I coined the phrase digital night of the long knives when these oligarchs colluded to silence the president of the United States and countless other conservative voices in this wholesale, historic, and most dangerous purge of dissenting ideologies. Meaning, if you're for America against globalism, if you're for President Trump against election fraud and voter fraud, if you're for all of this, then they want you dead. They want you dead. In fact, they want you dead. They'll kill you, dig you back up, and kill you again and put you in the ground. That's how bad this is. That's how vile, vicious their animus is. What we've seen, and I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Proctor momentarily, what we've seen, this purge was not organic. I'm telling you right now, this was about as organic, this purge, as the storming of the Capitol where there was violence. That was not organic either. That can be directly tied to Antifa and BLM associates, people, plotters, assets of Antifa and BLM. And the difference is you're not hearing this from the mainstream media. You're not hearing this from any media. Cumulus Media, speaking of media, has come out and given Mark Levin, Dan Bongino, and Ben Shapiro, who
they work for. That is not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
Bongino said that is not true.
Is that true?
Nope.
All right. I take that back then. I won't even finish that sentence. Dan Bongino denied that. Thank you. Because I was traveling and I didn't have the ability to follow up on that. Thank you. So, okay. I won't even repeat the lie because, you know, all right. That's good. But in any event, it was, to me, when I saw it, it wasn't that far from reality. Eric the Tech. I mean, when you saw that face, it was sounded believable, right? I mean.
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is why it's so important that you and I have to be very careful of who we listen to. Right now, man, you have got to have discernment. Who do you listen to? Because the feelings right now, people are either, you know, standing in the shower with the rope around the curtain rod, ready to do themselves in, or they're awaiting this savior-like event to take place in the next 7 days, where everything's going to be made right again, and we're going to be righted to normal. Both bad places to be, in my view. If you're waiting for someone to come and help you, it ain't happening. If you've got the shower, the noose around the shower, thing, of course that would be, depending on what kind of shower rod you have, that might be pretty ineffective. But if you're in those two mental states, you shouldn't be in either one. You should be aware, you should be paying attention, and you should be waiting for, you should just be watching and planning accordingly. You have to assess and adapt and then act. Don't react, but act or respond depending on the condition. But I'll tell you what, we've never been in a point like this in American history, in my view. And I would also urge people to look up the Enabling Act of Germany back in 1933, I believe it is. The Enabling Act, which allowed the Reich government to issue laws without the consent of the parliament, at that time Germany's parliament, laying the foundation for the complete Nazification of German society. That law was passed on March 23rd, 1933, and published the following day. My question is, you know, is that going, are we going to see something like that here, but where the substitute globalists for Nazis, United States for Germany, and, well, take it from there, extrapolate from there. With me is Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. That's ProvisInstitute.com on a news-heavy day. ProvisInstitute.com, what never goes out of style, what never will be old news today is, of course, his book, Saving the Constitution. That's Saving the Constitution. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. If you think it's too late, it's not. Even if it is, to rebuild Saving the Constitution tells you how to do it. I would urge everyone listening to this program, and I know a lot of you have not done this yet because you think you know about the Constitution. You don't. I'm telling you, you don't. Even if you took a Hillsdale College course or any college course about the Constitution, you don't know. I mean, it's not that they're bad. You just don't know because in this book, it explains everything you need to know about saving the Constitution and about the Constitution, saving the Constitution. Right now, you could follow along with C-SPAN or CNN or not CNN, but C-SPAN or whoever's broadcasting the various goings-on at the Capitol. Saving the Constitution at ProvisInstitute.com. Get your copy today. Do it right after the show. Richard Proctor, thank you so much for your patience, your kindness, and for going along with the issues with the show. God bless you, my friend. Welcome.
No problem at all. No problem at all. You know what you need to do and whatever. I want to mention something. Good grief. I didn't think I was that close. Let me move this back a little bit. I don't want to be so, I'm huge here, guys. Big headed. They're going to take pictures of me and put it up on the wall. Yeah. Guys, here's some interesting things about that event on last Wednesday. All kinds of things have been hidden from us. I listened to an Epic News program by an independent Japanese journalist. And she had quietly, she wasn't there, but she had reviewed the videos and the feeds from different angles and saw things and watched things. And she was identifying the moments when the young lady was murdered by Antifa, or whatever you want to call it, or the Black Lives Matter. I hate to call it BLM because that sounds like some kind of a government agency. Anyway, so she had two different views, and she showed those views to us on that broadcast. And what she showed was a particular individual. You could tell who he was. I mean, she focused his right on, he was able to focus right on his face as he was hollering, "She's dead, she's dead, she's dead." And she wasn't dead. But he was trying to invoke anger between the patriots that were there and the police. It didn't come about. The anger didn't come about. But he was trying to do it. Then she showed how he went down the stairs, changed clothes, and came up as if he was someone else to do the same thing again. Then she showed an interview on CNN where this man was there as the as an eyewitness to what happened, and they were interviewing him as if he was knowledgeable about all the bad things and all the good things. Well, he was, but he wasn't talking about the bad things. He was only talking about his perspective of destroying this republic. So that's what happened on that particular broadcast. There's a lot going on. You got to be really careful what you're looking at and what you're not looking at. I get stuff every day. I got an item yesterday, and I read through it, and I says, you know, I surely hope this is right, but I don't know. There's a couple of things in this that don't hang true, but I surely hope it's right. But I don't say a word about it, because even though there were some things that did hang true, there were things that didn't. And the minute something isn't true in one part of it, you must look at the rest of it and see if it's circumspect or not. For example, I was listening to a program, came from England, not the BBC, but from England, a fellow there who does this, highly regarded. I can't remember his name. If I need to find it out, I'll get in touch with Ted in Hawaii, and he'll tell me and help me get in touch with this fellow. But anyway, Ted White, that is. Anyway, so here we have a fellow completely out of our country, looking at the world and saying, these are the things that are happening. This is what's going on. And one of the things he talked about that I never even heard about and would not have put together was a huge electric blackout in Pakistan. What's that got to do with us? Huge electric blackout. And he said, well, let me tell you the background here. General Electric was in a deal with Communist China to buy them out. They were going to buy General Electric, which meant that they would buy all the technology and all the engines and everything of that sort that General Electric has. And what that means is that if the war started with China, we would have planes with engines fighting against guys who had engines just as good, because that's who developed them, was General Electric. So that's very important. And because of that blackout, it didn't happen. He also verified that all the information I've been receiving about Italy is correct. He pointed out what was going on. People had been arrested. Things were happening. And that points to a bigger picture than we've been thinking about. You see, we look at our situation of the election, and that's very important. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely crucial. But at the same time, this group of people that are overseeing this, I call them the international banking establishment throughout my books. The John Birch Society calls them the insiders. Somebody else will call them something else, and somebody else will call them something else, and some people call them the elite. It's all the same people. It's a group of, I don't want to put a number on it. It's a huge group worldwide, and they control all the governments. You've heard about the Economic Forum that meets in January in Davos, Switzerland. That is a part of controlling the world. You have seen the Bilderberger organizations that showed up periodically in various parts of the country. That is a group of people controlling the world. You've seen these things. You know they exist. You've heard rumors about an organization called Skull and Bones at Yale University. Folks, it exists. It is a secret society. But I was able, through the help of Anthony Sutton, to find the names of everybody who's been in that society since 1833 to 1985. Now, when you look at that group, you can find names of our politicians. You can find Kerry's name. You can find Bush's name. You can find all kinds. Bush family has had 7 members of the Skull and Bones in Yale University. And the only people that can belong to the Skull and Bones in Yale University are those who are seniors, and only 15 of those, period. A 14th doesn't get in. 15, that's all there is. If you want to see how it operates, there's a movie called The Skulls. It's a very entertaining movie. It's about Skull and Bones. We have an organization in Pratt Street here in our country, New York City, Pratt House, not street, Pratt House in New York City. That's where the Council of Foreign Relations meets. They control our government particularly. It's their job to make sure our government does what we're supposed to do. You will find that Mendel Edward House was a part of that group, although that group wasn't formed when he was there, but he was a part of it, part of the inquiry group or the circle groups that were existing just prior to the Council of Foreign Relations organization in the early 20s. Anyway, so what we have is we have a man there making sure Wilson did everything he was supposed to do. Then we have a man named Kissinger making sure that Nixon did everything he was supposed to do. That's how closely they monitor and control our government. They place people right there with instructions to keep track of these men, make sure they do what we want done. Sometimes there's a puppet. He doesn't need anybody to help. You know, like Obama. He didn't need anybody to help him. He could only say those things that he was told to say by them, and he did. He did a very good job of controlling and hurting our country based on their instructions. This group of people control the world. This group of people is the folks who started this thing about the pandemic. Let me just think about this for a minute. What were the first things we saw in the January timeframe about the pandemic in China? We saw and heard about people who were dying in the street, blood gushing from their faces. We saw all these kinds of things, and they came to us from the media, our media. They came to us from that source. And we looked at that and says, oh, I surely don't want to get that happen to me. I better protect myself from that. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Hollywood does it all the time in science fiction movies. They don't have any trouble in science fiction movies. They do this all the time. So here they are in a science fiction movie portraying it as real life because that's what our media, our faithful, honest media does. By the way, there's quotes around those last two words. They are giving the information, providing the information to us that the power, international banking establishment, wants them to provide. That's what's going on. The media is complicit. Don't watch the media. Don't watch the media. All they're doing is brainwashing you. They'll come out with one or two little true things and then blab out a whole bunch of lies, and you will follow through because they're wordsmiths par excellence. An attorney can make you think black is white because he's a wordsmith and he knows how to do it. I don't know how to do that, and I don't know most of the attorney's words, so I can't be in an attorney, i.e. a courtroom, because I don't know how they've changed the words to mean what they want them to mean. And I don't know those things, so I would have to have an attorney representing me. Even though I know he's a part of the bar, even though I know he's an officer of the court, even though I know that he's going to take care of the court before he takes care of me, I know I can't talk their language or wordsmith like they can do. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
I saw that yesterday. Dr. Proctor, you're 100% right. You know, it's amazing and people will, rightfully so, like you, talk about how they change or how they converse in their own language. And I think we're seeing that a lot today. We can pick out a lot of different areas away from outside of the courtroom where that's happening today, specifically in Congress. But I digress. I'll let you continue. But I just want to reaffirm what you're saying is absolutely 100% true.
Let's wander to an item that you just brought to my attention. I like that because you bring things up for me to think about.
Okay.
You guys take a PCR test, I think. And they, if they give you that test, which is not a diagnostic test to begin with, okay, doesn't work. But if they give you that test, they're supposed to run that through 17 cycles. Now, I do not understand what that means, but that's the information I get from the epidemiologist. They're supposed to run that through 17 cycles to get an accurate reading. But if you run it through 20 cycles, you begin to get inaccurate readings. If you run it through 30 cycles, they're really inaccurate. If you run it through 40 cycles, it's completely inaccurate. So what do they call the results? They call them false positives, don't they? Isn't that the phrase you hear now? False positives. False positives means it's a case, and it's a positive case. It is not true. It's how the people, government, media have changed the words. False means wrong. False positive means it is not positive. But they've redefined that word to say false positive is another case, quarantining. You see what's going on? That's what's happening to us. We're not ready for the wordsmithing that's been being done to us. And we must learn what it is, or we're not going to be successful. Now, I know I keep talking about my Liberty Series books. I know I do. But, folks, the Liberty Series will help you understand what these new words mean. I'm not going to pretend like I'm defining all the words. I didn't know anything about false positive until they made that definition now. But I can see other things that happened in the past coming from the media that they did change words. Those things are all pointed out. In my media discussion, a guy's retirement, I have quotes from him at his retirement. And he says, in essence, I'm not going to tell the whole thing. He says, in essence, you and I, he's talking to the media. It's his go away activity. The media is there. He's there. They're cheering all the good work he's done for a career. He says, you and I both know that if we had not given, had not said what we were told to say, we would have been out of a job and we couldn't find a job anywhere else. So we always told the people what the government, i.e. the international banking establishment, wanted us to tell them. And that's how we kept them in the dark, because we always did that. I'm retiring now. I don't need to worry. But you guys do. So you'll undoubtedly continue to give the line that's created by the international banking establishment. Now, how's that done? Well, it's very simple, actually. Alan Drury, in his book, Capable of Honor, written in the late 1950s, early 60s, explained it exactly. He made a book about how the media controls us. And the hero in this book was Walter Wonderful. Now, what's interesting is when Walter Lippmann, in the teens, wanted to become a part of the CFR, he was told, no, don't become a part of the CFR. We need you in the media. You're going to be our media voice. So we have Walter Lippmann being the lead voice. And here comes Drury, Alan Drury in his book, Capable of Honor. And we have Wonderful Walter. And you can see in that book how Wonderful Walter controls the country. Now that's fiction, but what's really happening is not. Last year, let's go to 19. We can't talk about last year anymore. 19 was a year where the media was beginning to condition us to this as they've been conditioning us for years. But it wasn't, and we the people knew that that's what was happening. So we said, we don't believe the media. The media was very poorly rated. People stopped listening, everything. And then comes January of last year. And all of a sudden, the media, which in 2019 was unacceptable, became the god of information. And if they said drop, they'd drop. How high? How far? What? How, jump? How high? Immediately, we would ask those questions. Mask? Oh, yeah, we better wear a mask. Oh, I'll protect us. It has been proven by medical science those masks do absolutely nothing. But you said, we get sick then if they don't do anything. What's going on? Well, here's a thought. Think about this for a moment. First, I know, without a doubt, that COVID-19 does not exist, period. They haven't been able to sort it out and find its components. They haven't done a thing with it. I know it does not exist. I also know that that particular thing that they're trying to work with to figure out what is, if they put that in a Petri dish, it cannot, will not contaminate human tissue. Will not. Humans can't get it. Period. So what's the disease? What haven't we had any of in this year? Not one case of the flu. Every year up to now, we've had 50, 60,000 people die from the flu. We don't have any flu deaths this year. None at all. What do you think happened to them? They were labeled COVID-19 and everybody bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, this disease. Oh, 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 oh. No, folks, it was a very serious flu, and that's all it ever was. But we have intelligent people running around with masks on to protect themselves from something that does not exist. Now let's talk about the masks themselves. You can't get a mask that'll do the job of keeping a 0.01 micron. Do you understand what that is? 1/100th of a micron? The mask won't do anything less than 3 microns. Won't stop anything less than 3 microns. Germs are 1 micron. And the flu is 0.01 microns. Okay? You can check this out as you just go look in your science books. 0.0 microns is the size of a flu bug. Let's call it that. A virus. So, no matter what you're wearing on your face, if you have something there to block out 0.10 or 1/100th of a micron, then you couldn't even breathe. You couldn't breathe. Now, I want you to watch people that are religiously breathing through these things, and you'll see the mask going in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. Why? Because the air is going to it and through it. Then it's coming back and through it. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. If it wasn't coming back to you, you'd have no oxygen at all. So it's coming back through the mask to you and bringing whatever's out there into you. You're not stopping anything. So what are the masks for? Let me just ask a few questions. Why do women wear makeup? Why do we have facelifts and Botox treatments? Why do women have makeovers?
You know, women are inherently beautiful. Serious, I don't want to sound stupid, but women are inherently beautiful the way they are. They don't have to be pushing stuff in their faces ancient Egypt, in my view, you know, but okay, go ahead.
But I'm just pointing out what our society is. I'm not calling this good or bad. I'm pointing out our society. Why do women do makeovers? Why do the actors and actresses use makeup to make themselves more attractive? What are all these things in common? Every one of these things is your face. Everyone. We can't communicate with people if we hide our faces. Think of it. Hollywood-type makeup was used to make us afraid of something that doesn't exist. And that's the science fiction movies that we've all bought into that came out in the January, February, March time frame. Have we seen anybody ever in any street fall down, die, and have blood gushing from their faces? Has anybody seen that happen in the U.S. or any place in the world? I bet you not. It's a Hollywood science fiction movie. Now, there's more behind it than just wearing masks. If we can't communicate with each other, and facial is one of our most important communications. That's why we like to see people we're talking to, like right now. I could be doing this on the radio. Wouldn't have nearly the effect. You want to see my face. You want to see what I'm talking about. You want to know that I believe what I'm saying. And it's just not some recording that I've been making it over and over. But you can tell by facial characteristics. You know who people are by facial characteristics. Well, here comes a person I'm supposed to know, and I know I'm supposed to know them, and they're wearing a mask, and I don't know who they are.
You know, may I comment on that? Because that what you're saying there about facial characteristics, and I'll even put it to reactions. Okay, I've testified so many times, a whole bunches of times in federal, state, different courts, criminal, civil courts, and I always depended upon looking at. For example, if there's a jury, looking at the jury to see their reactions, see their facial expressions. Again, I go back to yesterday. Well, I didn't have a show. Well, it was in court. And from the judge to everyone there, you could not see anyone's facial expressions. And I thought, man, is this an intended consequence or is this an unintended consequence? But regardless, it sure was a difference in, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago or 18 months or, 12 months ago. It was a difference.
Pre-January 20.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, we're in day 300 and some of a 2-week lockdown period. So anyway, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. These tactics are being imposed upon us by the international banking establishment. And they're doing it through bribes, threats, money. I don't know. They're doing it through something. And the governors of the states are falling in line. Why? Because they want the money. They want the power. They want the control. They want everything. And so they're falling right in line. And it's our state governors that have done the lockdowns, not the federal government. The state governors. It's the state governors and the health departments that have been destroying us through instructions of the guys on top, the international banking establishment. We are being conditioned to these tactics, wearing masks, so that we will accept future government edicts of any nature. We're being trained to accept these things. If they say tomorrow that we have to wear a different kind of mask, you betcha everybody will. If they say we got to wear red vests to protect ourselves from this disease because red repulses it, we will. No matter how stupid it is, we will do it because we've been conditioned by movies, by the school system, by our we're just not thinking anymore. If someone would just think, someone who's wearing a mask to why? To protect themselves against COVID-19. If they just think for a minute about how the fear came about, what happened back in January? What was it that came to us that made us afraid? And it came through our media. And it was pictures of people dying in the streets and blood gushing. And we surely didn't want that happening to us. Well, you know, I watch a movie called Outbreak. It's a very nice movie. And it shows what a terrible disease can do and what can happen. And oh, on and on and on. This is horrible. And it's all science fiction. And I know it's science fiction. But we haven't connected the dots from science fiction to science fiction that's being portrayed as real life. And we're responding to science fiction as if it were real life. Now, personally, I know absolutely no one who knows anybody who died from this disease. But I do know people back in the days of yore who died, people who knew people who died in the towers that went down in New York. But I don't know anybody who knows anybody who's died from this disease. Oh, it was a terrible disease we had. Yeah, just like the flu was last year, or the year before, or the year before, or the year before. Now, I want to just do a little history here. 1918, like that time frame, we had a flu, terrible flu. It killed millions, literally did kill millions. There were no lockdowns. We didn't stop our community. We didn't stop anything. We carried on. We tried to protect ourselves from it by personal hygiene, and it eventually went away after a year or two. It went away. This one is not the same. This particular flu is not the same flu. It will continue, and another one will come up, another strain, another one, another one, another one will come up. And they'll call them, oh, this is worse than the one before and worse than the one before. But it's all based on fear. You are afraid. If you don't stop wearing these masks, you are indicating you are afraid. Let me tell you something else that these masks indicate. These masks indicate that you will accept slavery. I'm just waiting for the next instruction. It's a subtle agreement. Here's another thing the masks will do. If you're wearing masks, you are subtly, it's not obvious, it's not something you came out and said, but you're subtly against Trump and for Biden, period. That's what it means. Biden and company want those masks on your face because it destroys your ability to communicate, it destroys your ability to get together with people, it destroys everything. And what do we have? We're doing it. And what's occurred? Just the very things they want.
But can I ask you something though?
Yes.
Are you okay with making a sweeping statement like that? Because I've come across people who are working, who have to work with, who are mandated by their employer to wear masks.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right, Doug. I made a mistake to get everyone who is mandated by their employer has to wear them if they want to keep the job. I understand that. But I don't understand why all the people in the business don't rise up and say, stop it. That's what I don't understand.
I agree with that. Yes. 100%.
And I understand people have to have their jobs. They have to do something. So they wear it for that purpose. But folks, You're just playing the game with the bad guys. Your boss says do it, so you do it because you have to. But why don't all of you guys in that same office rebel and say, hey, guy, we're not going to come to work if you don't take that off of a requirement off of us. Well, if that guy owns his own business and they aren't going to come to work, you best do a change. Bank robbers wore masks to steal. We wear masks now to be stolen from. Masks destroy individuality, destroy our relationship with each other's. Masks and social distancing prevent us from communicating. Don't hug anybody. Don't shake hands.
Oh, Dr. Proctor, quit being such a fuddy-duddy because, look, it's okay. By the way, the CDC came out and said, look, you want to have sex, you better wear a mask. Okay, so I'm still trying to work that out in my head. All right, especially – no, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. No, but how ridiculous, though. How ridiculous. And again, what I witnessed yesterday, apparently I don't get out much except, you know, when I have to and when I'm subpoenaed and stuff. But anyway, what I witnessed yesterday, you've got a group, an audience of people. And you have to wear a mask, but then you walk 10 feet, you take off your mask to testify. I just don't get this because, I don't get it. I don't.
That's because it's all artificial. It's all artificial. And it's been stuffed down on us by our state governors. Listen to this. Now, if we want to talk about stupidity from the government, here's one. Newsom said, if you're going to a restaurant, wear a mask. When you're taking a bite, move the mask aside, take it, put it in your mouth, and chew it. Put the mask on and chew it. One of the governors on the East Coast said, if you're on a virtual show like we are today, you better wear a mask. For what purpose? What's the reason here? This is stupid. And they're selling masks that won't even stop three microns. They won't even do 10. The disease we're getting is 0.01, 100, or 100. What's that word? And it's smaller than
a nanoparticle, I believe.
That's it, a nanoparticle.
Right. But this is connected to a bigger, everything that we're seeing happen today, really, if I may, the masks are part of the, things that we saw earlier in the year. The masks are a consequence of this pandemic, in quotes, or scandemic, or whatever you want to call it. I do believe that there was a bioweapon released by the Communist Chinese Party. I believe it was a SARS-2 variant of the coronavirus, obviously, or a variant of the SARS virus. I believe that it affects people with comorbidities, but to the extent that it's the lethality is as broadcast with all the cooking of the numbers, I don't believe that. So what you're talking about, what you're talking about, though, is part of what we're seeing today, I believe. We're seeing this massive campaign of globalism just putting its arms around every aspect of our virtual and real society. Isn't this what we're seeing? So the mask is a symbol of compliance. It also prevents any kind of social interaction. It depersonalizes you. What did we see this past weekend? The deplatforming and depersoning of people and organizations. So what we're seeing is all part of the same initiative. By the way, as illustrated historically in the Liberty series. Magically, I bring this up. Exhibit A. And, folks, if you haven't done so already, get a copy of, the series, Liberty series, because it is all of the information that we're talking about today, the historic part of it, it's right in here from, Edward Mandel House to Woodrow Wilson to, all these, yo-yos from way on Liberty series. It's really, I'll tell you what, and I've got markers throughout the books. I read them. I'm rereading them because it's interesting how they can predict the future, and how you've laid out the future into the present. Go ahead, sir. Didn't mean to take you off your stride there.
Well, I don't mind. I can go with a commercial every now and again. And I got to admit to something. I was on a show the other day. This was on Daniel Ott's show in on Saturday last week. And in the middle of that, he said, you know, you're very succinct in your answers. And the reason he said that was because somebody asked if I thought Pence was a traitor for what he did on April 6th. And my answer, yes.
It'd be January 6th.
Ah.
Just to be clear.
Yeah, January 6th. I'm sorry. Yeah. And my answer was yes. Well, they wanted me to elaborate. What's there to elaborate on? Yes. So that's, he says, too succinct. You're so succinct. Well, I am. I understand it. That's why I can't do Doug's job. I can't do a host. I can't do it because I don't have the knack to elaborate and make everybody excited and follow through. I just have facts, guys.
Which is called babbling.
I just have facts and information.
I babble.
Pardon?
I babble.
Oh.
I love your answers.
I do my best. I can get carried away sometimes. I can use the whole show up. The subject's right. This is a communist concept to separate people so they are more easily controlled. Everything that's happened on this COVID-19, this, all these masks, all these lockouts, all this social distancing, every bit of that is put together in a package to destroy our country and ourselves individually. Let's go back all the way back to 2010 when the Rockefeller Foundation, which is a part of the international banking establishment, when that foundation published a document, and on page 18, it talks about a scenario, and that scenario exists today, 2020. It was planned. There are stuff from Bill Gates in November, December of 2019, demonstrating what we're going to do in 2020, and they did it. Folks, they don't hide. They know we're going to be gullible and go right down the road. Now, I'm going to say something here that I'm sure that a lot of people, I'm sure they will, but I think a lot of people will disagree with me, and they'll shout and say to themselves, they'll shout at the screen, say, you're off your rocker. This is what I'm going to say. We have many fine Christian people listening to this station right now. They are looking for Doug to give them guidance. And he turned it off to this guy who just talks. And he said, you're not following your Christian beliefs if you are succumbing to the satanic program of masks, social distancing, and not shaking hands and not touching. If you're submitting to the satanical doctrine, you are not being a person of Jesus Christ. Now, I know you have to do it if you go to a job, you have to wear it. If you want to go to church and they're demanding it, you may have to wear it. But the minute you're out of there, that comes off and you don't wear it any other time. But when it absolutely has to be done, it's something you absolutely have to do. One person during this time has come into my home with a mask on. I had to have him there. He needed that exact person. I needed him to do an exact job and it had to be done. So I didn't tell him to take it off. He is the only one that's come into my home wearing a mask that wasn't wearing it for the job they were doing, period. I've had people meet sitting on the front porch because they won't come in my house wearing a mask. You're not coming in. I'm sorry. Sit on the front porch. Do all you want. You're not coming in. That's a rule here. Some folks want me to hold a meeting in my home here tomorrow night. Then I said to the guy who was setting it up, you know, of course, that nobody can come into my house if they wear a mask. Oh, I'll take care of that. That's how I treat this. I do not believe in these masks. They are not valid. They are not. They don't do anything. They don't protect you from anything. They don't help you at all. All they do is say to the world that I'm in tune with the satanic organizations. I'll do what they want me to do. And that's what the international banking establishment is, a satanic organization to control the world. That's what the Illuminati is, a satanic organization to control the world. And in those books, the Liberty series, I talk about the Illuminati, the Committee of 300, the Bilderbergers. I talk about all these things. I point them out. As many as I can, I point out the members that are a part of the group, like the Trilateral Commission. That's an organization a part of the international banking establishment to do the same thing, but it's more international than the Bilderbergers, which is kind of just Eastern Europe and that kind of thing. Folks, we are being conditioned. Now, that's not what you really want to hear in these days. So I'll leave this alone. Oh, and I won't leave it alone yet. You know Halloween. Halloween is a satanic holiday. What? Sure it is. It's a part of Doug, help me with the name of that organization in the 17th, 16th, 15th, 1600s. That starts with a D. You know it. Davidians or something like that.
I'm looking here.
Well, everybody out there had the same problem. The Davidians, I said it right. They're the people who probably built Stonehenge. They're the people who probably started the mask wearing, probably started Halloween, probably started all the witchcrafts, probably did all. These people were a group of, it was an offshoot religious type thing, an idolatrous type religion, not Christianity. This is coming from them. And we now treat it as a fun holiday. Well, you can, and I don't mind. I pay attention. I give out candy. I do the things. But I know what it is. I don't wear a mask. You notice that's a part of Halloween, mask? Have you noticed when you see parties at night or places that they want to wear a mask, it's always done more in the dark, dim, dark. You notice bars are dark. All those places are dark. They don't have windows. They don't have lights. They're dark. Dark indicates a part of the satanic culture, not light. Light indicates Christ. Darkness indicates satanic. These are the kinds of things you have to take into consideration. What is happening to us? The dark people up above us are testing us to see what we'll put up with in a step program. And Fauci made a statement not too many days ago, which I have on my computer now, that said, we give the people what they're prepared for. In other words, we've led them down the road, and we're going to do this now. We're not going to jump too far ahead because they'll rebel. We'll just do a small thing and another small thing, and then we will reach where we want to be. That's a Hegelistic doctrine that came out of, it was a part of the Illuminati back in the days, came from Germany, was a part of it. The Hegelistic doctrine is, always just take a little bit at a time, and eventually we'll reach the goal. That's communism. That's China. That's everybody that does socialism. A little bit at a time till we reach our goal. And our goal is complete domination of the people. So the little bit of a time have been going on in our country for years and years and years, and we've just given up. We've just allowed it. Well, now they're testing us in a big way, and we are allowing it. Well, and all those people...
To your point, I did, again, I overtalked you and I didn't mean to, but to your point, it's
interesting. That's your show. Yeah, I do what you
want. Well, in Italy right now, and you're not going to see this necessarily on the news. Italy right now, there are 50,000 restaurant owners. They formed an alliance and they decided to open up against the government's restrictions. And they're now open for lunch and dinner. They're banding together. They formed an alliance. And they said the only way to stop this is for all of us to get together, even though we're competitors, we're in the same industry, and we are not going to conform or comply to these tyrannical restrictions. 50,000 and growing in Italy. This is what we must do here in the United States. And to your point about masks, I have two comments about that as well, because people think, well, geez, this is old news. No, it's not old news. It's pertinent news. You know, a year and a half ago, you walked into a 7-Eleven wearing a mask. People would be, you know, reaching for the floor, you know, thinking, okay, I'm being robbed. Today, if you walk into a 7-Eleven not wearing a mask, you know, it's almost like a criminal offense. Things are upside down and backwards. And only, I believe it's satanic in nature, like you do. At its roots, it's satanic. And the other thing, too, about masks, those people in law enforcement and crime, you know, if you ever get kidnapped, and I'll just – kidnapping victims that are forced to wear facial coverings, hoods over their faces and such, or if they're blindfolded, or, you know, their faces covered, including a mask. Do you know, Dr. Proctor, they've got a more of a chance of getting killed. You'd think it'd be the opposite way because, well, wait, I'm not seeing my captor. I'm not a witness to anything. Well, it's not. It's the depersonalization aspect that permits the perpetrator to kill with less, what would you call it? Less,
restraint.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, don't believe that if you're being, you know, if you have a hood over your head, if you're kidnapped, that it's going to save you, because the stats show otherwise. But that's just an anecdotal piece. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
I did not know about the people in Italy that banded together like that. I think that's champion stuff. I've been trying to get people to band together over and over and over again. Do something together as a unit. You can't win individually. It must be as a unit. So get together and do it. And the people who don't, who are they're asked to belong to it. Well, would you belong? Oh, no, I'm afraid of the health department. They'll shut me down. They won't shut you down if you'll join with our group. Well, but I won't join because they might. That's the problem right there. That's the sentence. We're giving in because we're afraid. Folks, now, how does that pertain to today's subject of Trump and the election? This was all a part of the deal. It's every step of this thing has all been a part of getting rid of Trump. And we, by wearing masks, are accommodating that because we're saying we agree, get rid of Trump. Even if we don't believe that. I was sitting in the barbershop yesterday. I wandered in. The guy had an American flag out and everything. I wandered in. He's wearing a mask. I says, are you an American? Oh, yes. You have a flag out there in front of your building? Oh, yes. Well, you know, you're not. You're wearing a mask. That says that you're for Biden, not for Trump. Are you for Trump? Yes, I am. Well, then take the damn mask off. And he did. A little later on, another patron came in wearing a mask. And I turned to the barber. I looked at him and says, here's another Biden supporter just walked in. Now, I don't know what – he didn't say anything. Nobody said anything. But he talked about my books because he's an outlet for my books, by the way. He talked about my books, and he's been selling them to all the people that liked them and all that kind of stuff. After I left, I am positive that the conversation went on the same vein. What's he talking about? I'm trying to get the word out. I'm trying to help people understand what this means. It's not mass, you guys. It's not mass. It's the symbol. That's what it is. Let's just take a little thing. People are so upset with people having guns in school. And if a kid puts his finger out and shoots at somebody with his finger, you know what I mean. Did I get my finger up? Yes, I did. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say? I just can't get the camera right. I put my finger up. I'm going to shoot somebody. They take him to the principal's office because he was going to kill that guy. It's a symbol. And he's in trouble for making a symbol. Well, we now find ourselves in trouble for not making a symbol. In other words, you're supposed to go in with a little finger gun and kill people. You're supposed to wear a mask. That's the symbol. That's the symbol of getting along or causing or being the person that's persecuting. I don't know if I'm saying these things in the right way, but it's a symbol. We've got to avoid symbol. Symbolism is very important. All the robes of all of the church leaders everywhere, all the governments everywhere, they have symbols. They carry scepters. They put on crowns. They wear robes. All kinds of, these are all symbols of their position. Masks are a symbol of submission. That's a symbol. Just like all the other symbols, they're all around us. These symbols told these people, and the lockouts, that was another symbol, we put up with it. All this stuff set up the position to do all the lying and cheating about the election. Think about this for a minute. What was the excuse for sending all the mail-in ballots? The excuse was COVID-19. We're going to get sick again. Oh, what will we do? Too many people, too close together. Oh. Well, you see, we all allowed the mail-in ballots. And the mail-in ballots were the way they destroyed the election. But it was done very quietly and smoothly. So we thought it's just another protection from the disease that doesn't exist. Another protection against the disease. Now, there is something that exists, but they can't identify it, and they can't purify it, and they can't find it out. They can just touch at it. The physician explained it this way. They tried to put a handle around this item, this substance, this thing. And it requires 30,000 pairs of information to do that. They couldn't find 30,000. They couldn't find 10,000. They couldn't find 1,000. They couldn't find 100. But they did find 37 pairs. That's as close as they could get. So they put that in the computer to see what the results were, and they told it to give the results a particular name. And bingo, the computer filled in the other 29,963 and gave it a name. The computers could do that. It did it. It did it. And the physician used this illustration. If you take a little piece of an antler, a little piece of a hoof, one single tail hair, one single hair from the tail of the horse or whatever, one single tail hair, one single hair, one little bit of horn and one little bit of hoof. You put that in the computer and call it a unicorn. And bingo, it comes out with something it calls a unicorn. There's the animal in front of you. It's a unicorn. But several people did it, and they had different looking unicorns. So they all got together and looked at the different unicorns and chose the one they liked, voted on it, and agreed to it, and that became the unicorn. That's what happened. But they have no idea what the 37 items, what the 37 pairs really are. That's why it doesn't exist. Something exists, but that doesn't exist, and that something, whatever it is will not affect humans. Will not. There you have it. That's how it was done. They called it COVID-19, did some Hollywood science fiction, threw it on the screen and said, this is real, and we all believed them, and we still do. And if no matter how many facts come out about this thing, people resist them. No. We resist them. Folks, now let's change course here just a little bit. That's all I want to say about masks. I think masks are very important as a symbol for them to know exactly where we are in our agreements.
And, so and I appreciate that. And you know, people, it's, I think people have a tendency to believe that all of these topics are mutually exclusive. They're not. Okay. They're all part of the same, driver of beliefs, driver of action. And they're all part of that agenda. So thank you for that, because it's a closer, deeper dive. And people who want to, I'll just say this too, people who want a 5-second, 10-second, soundbite, you know, this is not the place for that. This is the deeper dive into the bigger picture. So go on, sir.
Yes. Okay. Now I'm going to apply all of this. Just like Doug just said, this all belongs to the same thing. Now, I want you to think back in the history that you know of a man named Donald Trump. Now, we don't really know him very well. I've never met him. I don't know. But I've seen his personality portrayed lots of times. He had a TV show for a little while. People came on to do things, and they don't write, you're fired. And they were out of there. Remember? You're fired. You're out of there. That's how he handled it.
A phrase, by the way, he failed to use sufficiently during his first term. I might say, that's my view. He should have used those two words, or three, the contraction in there. He should have used those words more. Yes.
You and I, we don't know what was behind the scenes.
That's right.
That was dictating what he was doing.
Amen to that. And thank you for pointing that out. Even though I say that, I stipulate to you, I defer to you, because you're absolutely right. We don't know what the heck was going on behind the scenes. You're 100% right.
So I'm just pointing a personality at the moment.
Yep.
He did that. He acted that way. He did those same kinds of things with the deals he was doing. He would go through and he would say, you know, this is how we're going to do it. And that's it. And people agreed. You know, we got NATO to pay some stuff because he did that. He said, we're not going to support these things alone any longer. You guys are going to pony up with your share or we're leaving. And they did. Things that have never happened before, because we never had the guts to say those kinds of things, because we never really wanted America first. Now, let's take this individual as he ran for office back in 16. Yeah, 16. That's when he was running for office. This is 20. Yeah, 20. All right, 16. As he was running for office, he fought tooth and toenail to get things the way he wanted them for his election. And he won. hands down. That's the man that became our president. Then he went to work and dismantled scads of garbage that had been done by the previous administration, those things that were destroying the country. He dismantled scads of it. We never heard about it because the media didn't want us to know, but he did. Those of us who paid attention to what was happening and got extra information, no, the list was huge. I got a comparison. This came again to me. Here's a comparison, a list of all the good things, of the things, the accomplishments of Joe Biden. And it was about, eight or nine, 10 things. And they were nice, but they're 8 or 9 or 10 things. Here are the accomplishments of Trump while he's been president. 7 pages of things he's done while he's been president to further our country.
Yep.
7 pages versus 7 things or 8 things. So that's the point I make. That's the man we have as president. That's how he conducted his campaign. That's what he's done for us while he's been president in 4 years. Now, there's a whole bunch of people who sit around and say, he didn't do this. So he's stupid. And he didn't do this because that was stupid. And he caused that and that was stupid. Well, everybody's got their own axe to grind. I don't know why those things didn't happen. Some of the things that he had around him and did, I didn't agree to either. But I support him 100% because I know that he's doing the best he can in the circumstances that he's been faced with. Now here comes this election. Now they knew, Trump knew. I got this information from a video of him that I watched, and it really was him too, by the way. We knew back in January and February what was going on. We knew that this was going to destroy the election. It was going to be the fact to destroy the election. And so all through the year, he's been allowing people to do what they wanted to do. When it came time for the voting stuff, he did everything he could to get it legally done. He went through the court system and they turned him down. He went to the state courts and they turned him down. Even though everybody knew the things he was asking for were absolutely true, they still turned him down. Did he run around and the chicken with his head cut off and say, "Woe is me"? No, he just accepted and went on his way. Now we watched Doug and I and Randy last week. We watched him speak at the event there in Washington, D.C., about 10 minutes before the gavel of the meeting. We also talked about the tweet that he had sent. And in both cases, he made allusions or said it outright that Pence has particular instructions. He doesn't say that we agreed upon, but that's what it was. So I'm going to say it the way it really was. Pence has instructions of what to do to get this thing finished today, settled. And he was there, and he kept his people down at the other end of the mall so that they wouldn't be a part of the riots that were going to happen at the front, because he knew they were coming. He knew they were there, so he kept most of his people far away from it so they wouldn't be involved. Then when it was time for them to come, it was a long ways to walk. Everybody didn't make it. Just a few people did. Those who made it were herded to the back, not the front, where all the problems were going on. But they were blamed for all the problems that occurred in the front while they were in the back. And tear gas was sprayed on them in the back, not in the front. Interesting how these things are happening. We know that the Antifa and that Black Lives Matter were bussed in. We know they came in buses protected by the police. And there they are doing their thing. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Some of them, one of them particularly, went the whole route, was a bad guy, changed clothes, was another bad guy, wound up on CNN as a good guy. So we have this. He knew about all of this. Now, I'm going to present something to you as an idea, a thought. He knew that he had what we call the Insurrection Act of 1803. Okay, he knew that. He also knew that he had signed an executive order in 1918. He knew those things. But he needed for you and I to know what he was doing was right. And we wouldn't accept it unless we saw what he was doing was right. We might even turn against him because he might do something. So he allowed Pence to go in and crucify himself. He allowed Nancy and company to do their stuff. He is now allowing the impeach process to go. Every now and again, you see something on an interview by him that says that he wants a peaceful transition to the new administration. I'm not sure that those aren't CGI images. I'm not sure because he's completely incommunicado. You can't find him. He can't get out. He can't say a word publicly at all. He's been shut down. Now, that's an act of treason. The people who are shutting the President of the United States down, that's an act of treason to stop him until 1 o'clock on January the 20th. He's the president, actually 1201. He's the president. And an act of treason is to deny him his ability to work with the people of the United States. That's an act of treason right out there. Well, we don't know where he is. We don't know what he's doing, do we? We're not positive. Like Doug talked at the beginning, all the rumors. But you see, that's another part of this particular personality. He doesn't tell the folks what he's doing. He just waits for them to get suckered in and then pounces on them. So I expect, okay? Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not saying I can foretell the future. But I expect some things are going to occur, start occurring that are going to be very momentous. I've listened to a lot of people talk. There are people who are in the know, okay? People who I appear to be folks that would be honest and are saying what they need to say and appear to be close to Trump and appear to be that way. I may be wrong, so I don't call it fact. But I listen to a lot of sources and I hear the same thing over and over again. I believe, because I heard this from the guy in London who has a source or two into these things that are going on. I believe that on Sunday morning around midnight, just after midnight, he invoked the Insurrection Act of 1807.
Wait, this past Sunday? You mean last Sunday or?
Yes, this past Sunday.
Okay.
The one we just went by.
Okay.
The one that just happened this very past Sunday. He invoked it.
All right.
I believe that's what happened. Midnight on what date would that be? I got to be very clear here. I'm going to look at my calendar.
Let's see. That would be
the 10th.
Right.
That's the 10th. That's when I believe he signed that document. No, he didn't sign the document. It was signed in 1807. He invoked the document that was signed in 1807. I believe that the military is a part of his establishment and is helping him. Why? Because the mayor remember on the scenes last week when we were watching that stuff going on in Washington, the mayor appealed to the Pentagon to send troops to help quell this riot. And they said, no, I don't think so. Didn't they? He left. Word has it that he left. People say that they saw the plane. They know it happened. He left shortly after Pence reneged because then he knew that was taken care of. He thought Pence was a bad guy. He gave him a chance to not be. He was. I mean, I have a thing here that Pence could have said, and I'll read that in a few minutes, could have said 100% constitutional, and Trump would be no question that he'd be the president today. He could have done this. It was in the Constitution. He was given instructions in the Constitution to do this, but he didn't.
Just to be clear, Richard Proctor, by the way, is my guest, as usual, on Wednesdays. Just to be clear, though, what the president asked Vice President Trump to do, it's my understanding, and please correct me if you know something different. The issue was for Vice President Pence to say, wait, we've got 6 states where there are competing electors. We need 10 days. We're asking for 10 days to sort this out. Okay. And then come back, reconvene and address it like it should have been done at the beginning. Okay. And instead, what Pence did was issue a 2-page letter answering or providing a response to that request that had nothing to do with the request at all. So it would be like me asking you a question about, about how to fix a,
tomatoes.
Asking you about tomatoes and you telling me about apples. Okay. It had nothing to do with it. So that's my understanding. And Pence instead took the Pontius Pilate way out. Go ahead.
If that interpretation means that Pence was doing what Trump wanted, then why isn't Pence a part of what he's talking about?
No, it means that what I meant to say was you're exactly right. Pence did not do the...
Whatever he was supposed to do.
Correct. And what he was asked to do was not illegitimate, illegal, or unconstitutional. It was pursuant to his job as vice president in that capacity, in that situation. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to start over again so we don't have any confusion here.
Sorry about that.
Doug just said a lot of things.
I'm good at confusing things. I'm good at
babbling. No, you're not confusing at all, but I would have to have so much clarification. So I'm just going to say what I think Pence's real task should have been. Okay? I'm going to read it because I want it to be precisely right. Per the authority I have as... No, I'm not doing this right. Wrong thing. I'm going to say this. Per the authority of the Constitution, Section 20. I'm sorry. The 20th Amendment, Section 20. Article 3. It says, and this is what Pence could have quoted. If the president shall have failed to quote, if a president shall not have been chosen before the time affixed, or if the president has failed to qualify. If the president has failed to qualify. So, I can take those words right there in the 20th Amendment, it says it, and say this. I'm Pence. I'm standing in front of these people with a gavel. I'm going to quote the Constitution, and I'm going to say the president elect, that man, have qualifications to do the job. Biden? He can't put two sentences together. He can't possibly stand in front of the Russians or the Chinese or even the Canadians or anybody and dictate policy. He can't possibly take control of anything. He has lost the ability to do that. He is not qualified. Next, the young lady who's a part of his group is not a citizen of the United States, period. She's not qualified. The only person qualified now is Trump. And since he's the only man standing in this election, he is now the president of the United States per the 20th Amendment, because he's the only one that qualifies of the people who are standing here to be chosen from. And that would have been 100% legal and 100% correct.
And yet he didn't.
That's right. And yet he didn't. That's right here in Section 3. Fail to qualify. You can just show that neither of those two people on that Democratic side were qualified. Neither of them are qualified at all. In fact, rumor has it that Nancy brought up the 25th Amendment so that she could get him out when he got there.
I've heard that as well. The 25th Amendment is really aimed toward Biden. I've heard that as well.
To not be he's not qualified. He's not competent. See, that's the same thing. So the thought is that he was going to be elected so that he could then be claimed not competent and they could put in whoever they wanted. You see, I believe that's how it worked. But the Amendment 20, the 20th Amendment law, it meets at noon, at 20th, it gives the noon dates, it gives all the things, talks about the successors, talks about all these things, but the key word is qualified. If the president-elect shall have failed to qualify. Well, right then, in that meeting on the 6th, he obviously had failed to qualify. It doesn't matter how many people voted for him, he failed to qualify. Since he fails to qualify, he's not eligible. Right there in a 20th Amendment. The other young lady, she's not qualified because she's not a member of the country. She's not a citizen. She's not even been naturalized. She's not a citizen at all. Therefore, she doesn't qualify. And if we have to explain that, we go back to the 14th Amendment and talk about birth and jurisdiction. And her jurisdiction was from her parents, and they were Indian and Jamaican, as I understand it. And therefore, she is a citizen of Jamaica or a citizen of India. She is not a citizen of the United States, because neither of her parents were citizens. Done. That's the 14th Amendment. Very clear. They don't qualify. Neither. The only man on this slate that qualifies is Trump, and he does qualify, and 75 million people, whoever it is, voted for him to be president. He qualifies. He is, because the other two, doesn't matter how many electoral votes they've got, they don't qualify. And you know, that's absolutely true.
If I may interject this, not qualifying, you've got in the form of Joe Biden, as evidenced by the Hunter Biden laptop, the laptop from hell that no one's talking about because no one can talk about it because, well, and I find this very interesting. The FBI can go out and make, you know, hundreds of arrests, identify people at the Capitol in a nanosecond, like the nanoparticle, in a nanosecond, yet Hunter Biden's laptop, the FBI, you know, they misplaced it, can't find it, don't know it exists. Oh yeah, well, look at it. And in that laptop, within that hard drive, contains evidence of Joe Biden being a Manchurian candidate, a puppet, a witting puppet for the Chinese Communist Party. So he is, by virtue of our own definition, he is a domestic enemy of the United States. And see, I can say this because I'm not on YouTube, okay, folks? Okay, I'm not on YouTube. This is I don't have to make any disclaimers when I say this, as other talk show hosts do who still feed the beast. But that aside, isn't that right? I mean, isn't it the president? See, I'm looking at President Trump. Isn't it his job to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic?
Yes, that's his job. Okay, that is his job.
Okay, so I'm looking at President Trump saying, in my mind, saying, you need to do that, buddy. You need to do that. You need to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic, that being Biden, that being Pelosi, that being Feinstein.
All of them.
All of them. All of them. So right now, folks, you can go on any channel you want, and you can see 10,000 National Guard troops at and around the Capitol building. It's a fortress. What are they protecting the Capitol from? It's going to be the inauguration next week, if there is one, it's going to be by way of Zoom. What in the hell is going on here? Look, I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, you do, Doug. It's a military takeover on the wrong side. That's what it is.
Oh, come on. You just outed me.
Yeah, I guess I did, didn't I? But everybody else knew it too, so it wasn't anything new.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we've got the smartest audience, the most intelligent audience in the world. I believe that personally. I really do. And it's not, folks, it's from your emails. You know, I see it. I see it. And I know Richard Proctor, I know you see it too from our audience's emails.
The people who contact me, the stuff I get, absolutely. I know it.
Yeah. So, and by the way, folks, a very good investment is the Liberty Series. You know, I'm very, very discerning how I spent any money whatsoever. I really am, because I don't know if tomorrow, you know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So here's what I do know. These are books that I could pass down to my children, my grandchildren, the Liberty Series. It's full of information that, you know, I should add this. On volume six, which I have right, five and six, you've got copies of entire articles, reports back in, from the Obama years. I'm not exactly sure of the timeline. But I checked the I searched by title. I searched by URL. They're gone from they're scrubbed from the internet. I checked the archive. They're gone. They're not to be found anywhere. So don't let them rewrite history on you. The Liberty Series, it's worth its weight in gold, platinum, silver, whatever. It's worth the money. And the where you get it is at Provis Institute. I'm pushing this because we need now more than ever to have in our hands and at our disposal the truth about what's really going on. This gives a historical context, Liberty Series, along with saving the Constitution. And I mean that from the heart when I say that, because look, I'm very discerning when I talk about spending money. And this is where I believe your money should go right now, along with ammo and self-defense measures. This is right up there with that. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I want to continue down the road then. Okay. Here we have a president who has a personality that's demanding, that expects certain things to happen. His whole life he's demonstrated that. His abilities, his business abilities, everything. And he demonstrated that during his last 4 years. But he wanted to make sure that we understood down in our guts what he understands was going on. And I would think this is what I think might have gone on in his mind. You know, I could not right now, I could take over this country militarily and invoke the Insurrection Act. I could do that. But the people wouldn't go along with me because they haven't seen what I've seen. They don't know what's happening. So I must give them a chance to see it for themselves. So he didn't jump up down and scream when Pence didn't do what he was supposed to do. He just quietly took off and went somewhere else. Now, we don't know what he's planning to do, but think about this for a moment. They met today to impeach him, didn't they? Well, that's interesting. He's not even going to be in the office in 7 days, but they're having to spend all this time impeaching him. They're scared to death of Trump. They wouldn't do that if they weren't absolutely scared to death. They would just say, so what? He'll be out in 7 days. Doesn't matter. They're absolutely petrified. Even still, they're petrified or they wouldn't be doing this. The media is petrified or they wouldn't shut him off. The social guys, everybody, petrified of him. Petrified. They couldn't be more scared of him if they were looking at a grizzly bear with his fangs open, chomping on your head. They couldn't be any more scared of him than that. Folks, he's waiting for these things to come down so you and I know what kind of people they are. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if maybe he's already doing things. I don't know. But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the minute he pounces is the minute the Senate says he's been impeached. Then the military guys are going to go in there and they're going to know exactly who's traitorous here in both the House and the Senate. They're going to know exactly who's traitorous. They're going to know exactly who's traitorous in the Supreme Court. And we will too. At that point, nobody can hide. They voted. Their stuff is there. They're right out in front of us. And they fought for to do what they wanted to do. They fought for that opportunity. Bingo. Here they come, individually picked up by the military because we are in the Insurrection Act has been said. Doesn't mean that we are in martial law, but it's as close as you can get. And if it requires it, he can say it. Our Insurrection Act and powers. Let me just read what it says. The United States is the Insurrection Act of 1807. Boy, is a United States federal law that empowers the President of the United States to deploy U.S. military and federalized National Guard troops, and I would say militia, within the United States in particular circumstances. Here's a list of those circumstances, such as to suppress civil disorder, insurrection, and rebellion. This act provides a statutory exemption to habeas corpus. Okay, guys, here we are.
So I've got a copy of the Insurrection Act with me right here. So I'm going to read along with you. It's 10 U.S.C. sections, the applicable one, correct me if I'm wrong. 10 U.S.C. sections 331 to 335, but continue, sir.
Well, I was finished reading it. You have more to read there, read it.
Well,
if you have more to say. Because I didn't copy it from the law. I copied it from another place, but I knew that was the law. And you've gone over and saw it.
Yeah, I just I'm looking at this from both angles, from the enemy angle. When I say enemy, I'm talking about the globalists, entrenched globalists and communist supporters in our government. And then on the other side, looking at it from Donald Trump's side, so when you take the Insurrection Act, you distill it down to its appropriate sections. It's just 331 to 335. 331, federal aid for state governments. Okay, that's, put that aside. 332, use of militia and armed forces to enforce federal authority. Whenever, and this is the takeaway, I think, right here, is whenever the president considers that unlawful obstructions, combinations, or assemblages, or rebellions against the authority of the United States makes it impracticable to enforce the laws of the United States in any state by the ordinance or by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings, he may call into federal service such of the militia of any state and use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to enforce those laws or to suppress the rebellion. And then from there, I won't read it, but it covers the entirety of the continental United States.
We are today covers it precisely.
Yeah. So
precisely, he has authority to do whatever he deems is necessary at this moment. So I see him with that item signed last Sunday morning, three days ago, ready to deploy military people to pick up all of those who are against, I just use that word, against the people of the United States. That means governors, health departments, rioters, planners of rioters. Federal government officials. It means globalists. It means everybody who has done anything willfully to destroy this country over the last year. And now they have the names of all the senators and all the representatives who are a part of this by how they vote tomorrow, or how they voted in the Senate and in the House.
With respect to how they voted with respect to any specific issue, for example, impeachment or?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. That's the key. If they vote to impeach him, then they're voting to destroy his presidency and our country. If they weren't going to do that, they'd just wait for the 20th and be done with it. If they weren't so absolutely petrified with him,
and that's
they would just wait for next week.
That to me, that is the absolute key. I look at Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and even McConnell. I look at these individuals and I've got to ask, are we not seeing the criminal forensic psychological phrase, consciousness of guilt, in play here? I'll ask you, what's the rush? As you pointed out earlier, what's the rush to get him out? Why is he so dangerous during these the remaining 160 hours that we have? What's going on here? There's something not right here.
With
160 hours.
Right.
Why? Why are you so intent on having to get him out?
And that demonstrates their traitorous nature.
Yes.
That's how I put it. Demonstrates their traitorous nature.
Yep. I agree. Because there's something going on here.
Trump is just giving them enough time, enough minutes, enough time, whatever, to lower the boom. He can't do it until we, the people, see what they're doing. So he's waiting until we can see what he already knew. I'm sure he expected Biden to not do what they had arranged. I'm sure he expected it, but he waited and let him do it.
You're talking about Pence, you mean?
I do keep saying the wrong person, don't I?
No, I just want to make sure.
Because the current vice president.
It's easy, right now it's easy to confuse me. It's Pence. But he didn't do the right thing. Constitutionally or morally or even, it's almost as if, Donald Trump's got a lot of knives in his back. A lot of knives. Man.
Yes. We're going to see some stuff happen this next 7 days. It'll boggle our minds. One of the things also came out in some of the stuff I've received said, don't go anywhere during these 12 days, even to the end of the month. Stay where you are. Don't get on the planes. Don't go places. Stay away from major cities because there's going to be riots and all kinds of stuff as Trump begins to, shall we say, arrest the traitors. And I think that's a good warning. Now, I'm going to go into another subject entirely. I think I've exhausted that
one. Before you do, let me ask you, why the troops in D.C.? Why?
Whose troops? The National Guard stuff?
Yes.
Because Pelosi and company have asked for them to come and protect them. The mayor's asked for them to come and protect them. I keep saying Pelosi. Well, she's doing it too. Pence has asked them to come because they've been required to come and do it to protect them. Who? I don't know. There isn't anybody threatening them. But it's another act of insurrection.
Okay.
It's another.
So they're there fighting against God knows who, because the Capitol is, there's not going to be any inauguration as we know it to be. So they're there. So can they be, now this is the other question I'll ask specifically to you and then we can move on. Can they be federalized? Because these are guard troops from sent from blue city, blue states by blue governors to the capital, who's a blue mayor. But my question to you is, can President Trump, like I think it was Johnson did in Alabama, federalize those very troops? In other words, they're pointing their guns one way, and by way of a signature by the President of the United States, can they turn around and point the guns the other way? Is that legal?
Yes, constitutional? Yes, they can.
Okay.
Yes, they can. Whether or not he would do that or not depends on what his information is about their loyalties.
Okay. All right.
He may be just saying this, snickering to himself, look, they moved the troops there. I'm ready for them. They moved them there. Thank you very much.
That's kind of in a dream I had, I thought, well, boy, I'll tell you what, that'd be easy to do. Hey, sign a paper, federalize them. Now they're under my control. Okay. Sorry, guys, you're pointing the guns the wrong way. Oh, you know that wall? Just step over that wall and, or, you know. Yeah. So, okay, we can move on from there, but that's just an interesting thought. And thank you
Remember, this man, Trump, knows the business of winning. He doesn't lose. He knows the business of winning. He just wants to make sure we all understand what he's doing is right.
I hope so.
We do understand it, don't we?
We do. But a week from today, we may be saying, well, we thought we knew that. Or we might be saying, you know, we told you. I don't know which one it's going to be.
And that brings me to my next subject. Okay? My next subject. I got these subjects all lined out. I put them here in front of me to start. My book, Saving the Constitution. That book you showed earlier. I know that the Liberty series gives us all the background and the information we know we need to put this thing back together again when there isn't anything to put back together. The Constitution's there. Everything's there in all of my books. So you've got everything you need. But the book, Saving the Constitution, is absolutely crucial.
Folks, this book, please, ProvisInstitute.com, ProvisInstitute.com, buy it, do it today, ProvisInstitute.com, link in the program description box. You need this book. You need it. Go ahead, sir.
I'm going to say this. If you don't get that book today, I mean today, order it today, and you should order it from me directly today, you may never be able to get it ever. Now, I could say that maybe on Sunday, this coming Sunday too, but why wait? Why take the risk? If you have ever had an inkling, ever even thought you might want it, ever even thought maybe somebody you know might want it, now's the time to get it. Because if you don't get it today, if you don't do that today, I believe that book is going to be on the banned list. I won't be able to ship it or anything immediately. Now we can find other ways to get books to people, but the way I'm saying it right now is order it right now today. Now I don't have enough books to fill every order. I expect folks, if I don't get 1,000 orders today, I will be very disappointed. You people, I've had many people say to me, well, I was gonna, but I didn't. I was gonna, but I didn't. I put it off, but I think maybe I will today. I've had that happen over and over and over again in discussions. This book will be banned first thing. Order right now. If Trump's there, it'll be a good thing for you to have anyway. If Trump's not there, you must have it. Must. I'm sorry, folks, you want to have this country survive. Get the tool that will help you make it survive. You cannot re-put the Constitution back together if you don't know what it even says. And this piece of paper, this item that I'm holding up now, this one, it disappeared because of the screen stuff. That item right there, that is the Constitution of the United States. It's quoted in the book Saving the Constitution, exactly. But the one that I just held up doesn't explain what it says. It just says it. The Saving the Constitution explains what it says so you can do it. It explains it in our language. Now, everything is not there. It's only 350 pages. This is not a book that I put everything in. It'd be 3,000 if I put everything in it. I know that. But this is enough. This is the key to understand what that Constitution means. This is the key. And there's a lot of innuendos that are, I cover in the book, so you can see how the relation of the Senate and the House work together, how the many things are supposed to be. It's all listed. I also listed all the amendments that are absolutely untrue, illegal, out. Get out of here. Stop. They're listed. And if we got rid of those amendments, those parts would help get the Constitution back. But if you don't understand why those amendments are bad, you won't know why you should get rid of them. And the big one is taxing. Taxation was put, the 16th Amendment was put on the books so that you and I would be compelled to pay the debt and the principal of what the Federal Reserve Bank was planning to do. The purpose of that was to get you and I on the hook for the debt that the Federal Reserve was going to do. It's that simple. They had to have the Federal Reserve, they had to have the senators changed, and they had to have the tax bill in before they could do the Federal Reserve Act, and they did that. And they did it on purpose. That's the order. Those two, 17th and the 16th Amendments, are the two I'm talking about, are absolutely against the Constitution. They're absolutely unconstitutional. We've never even challenged the 17th to the Supreme Court. The 16th has been challenged, and they found new rights where rights don't exist, and they just carried on as a part of the team because they were challenged. They were paid to do it. They were threatened if they didn't. Who knows what the background was? Nonetheless, it's there, and it's illegal and can be thrown out in 1 minute by any state legislature if they would choose to do it. Well, you need to have this book so that you can know why and how it can be thrown out. If you don't know why, you don't know how to throw it out, then it won't happen. And you'll still be stuck with the IRS, which will still stick you with sending money to the international bank establishment so they can turn around and buy more people and destroy our country a second time. Even though the ones that are there now are gone, they'll get a whole new batch of them because they'll have all that money. All you got to do is stop sending money there by revoking those two bills, those two amendments. And then you'll have something that's working and you can get some stuff cleaned up. But you got to do it, folks. And you can't do it if you don't have instructions. You can't do it if you don't have instructions. If you even think an inkling that you want this book, you must get it now. You must.
Or it'll be disappeared.
Yes.
Yep.
Banned books, burned books, all that kind of stuff. Oh, and you also must perhaps keep it hidden. Okay?
That's the other thing. I'm glad you pointed that out because I truly believe, and you can buy a digital copy, I'm sure, but I believe that the Bibles, constitutions, any type of books and documents like that will be confiscated. I really do.
Yes, they will be. Confiscated, bad. Book burning has occurred every time one of these organizations takes over. Book burning is very important. Okay? Well, books will be burned. I already can't get my books in the libraries, the public libraries, or the school libraries. A few places have said, I'd like to buy it, but I think they're buying hidden as they buy it hidden, so to speak. Not very many, though. Not very many. One, two, this entire country, one, two libraries have purchased this book. Should be in every one of them. Every one. But it isn't. And my Liberty series is nowhere but where the people are that have it, that they've acquired it from me. Nowhere else. It will also be banned. You can't have this information out.
Sidney Powell's book was banned on Amazon, if I'm not mistaken. Sidney Powell. Let me just verify this. I believe Sidney Powell's book was banned on Amazon. Sidney Powell, the lawyer. Also, there's another gentleman, Andy Ngo, who wrote a book called Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. Amazon, I believe, is looking to ban that or is in discuss, or they're going to be banning that. But what I'm saying is I'm trying to verify or solidify or back up your point that the sale of this book can very well be banned. So this is why you need it right away. And
yes,
it's a hot commodity. I just
today, just if you out. if you don't order this book right this very second, you may not ever be able to get it again.
That's right.
And that's the important side to this. We're giving this book away, folks. We pay all the taxes. We pay all the shipping, all the handling, everything, all the labor it takes to do it. We pay out of our own pocket. Now, I'm not saying that we're giving it away. I'm just saying that we are not charging you all the stuff that the other places do. That's all I'm saying, because I want you to have it.
You're sure not, you know, getting rich on it. That's for sure. Yeah. It's a tight profit margin. So, because you're paying the shipping, as you said, you're paying the sales tax, as you said, the profit margin is slim for what you get, folks.
Let me give you an idea of what the profit margin is. $2.50.
There you go. Wow. You can't even buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks for that, I don't think. I don't know. I haven't been there.
There's lots of ways that come back to us. $2.50 is now the most common one.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, man. You know, we want you guys to have this book. I've been told I should price it at $59. I might have priced it at $29, but I want you to have it. We price it at $19.95 and $20, depending. $20 is just figure $20. That's how it's priced.
It's pretty doggone good. It really is. It's a good deal. Now, I guess the obvious question people are looking at, and I don't want to take you any place that you don't want to go or haven't finished from a previous point, but what people are looking for is, where do we go from here? People, you know, I've noticed that people are very impatient. People don't want to wait. And I understand that. I'm looking at all of this play out before me and I'm thinking, what are people waiting for, before they act? At what point are people going to act? I've heard, well, we don't have any leadership because it seems like President Trump has abandoned us. Now, you addressed this earlier because you think something's playing out in the background. Could very well be. I don't know. But
President Trump hasn't abandoned us.
Okay.
He hasn't. He knows that 75 million people, at least, and maybe it was really 95 million people voted for him. He's not going to abandon us. Not in his makeup. That's not his norm.
I didn't think so.
But, you know, everybody's saying, well, look. Well, that's what I'm going to say now. Next thing I'm going to say, answer the question you're taught. Where do we go now? Right this minute, we hunker down, relax, and wait. Its ball is in President Trump's court. You and I can't do anything but make trouble if we try to go out with guns to do anything. Can't do anything but make trouble. So if he hunkers down and he doesn't do his part, we will know by January the 20th. 1 week from today, we will know his position, or at least the apparent position, okay? We will know.
Oh.
There is the other side to this, folks. Don't forget, if he has, and I can't say I didn't see him sign it, but if he has invoked the Insurrect and Act of 1807, nothing that the Congress can do will override the act.
Okay.
They could swear Biden in, and that doesn't override the act. It's an illegal government.
I got a question, JM, I'm sorry for not asking this question at the onset. Sent me an email wanting to ask you today. What happens? What could happen if the Insurrection Act was invoked? Now, that's not the word that she used. That's right, she used. With respect to the inauguration, and what if President Trump just refuses to concede? And is concession necessary for the swearing in of another candidate? Now, I'm paraphrasing that question. The questions.
But okay.
You get the idea.
No, the concession isn't necessary. You know, the law doesn't give the opportunity for someone. I don't concede, therefore I'm not out. That's not true. Okay. So don't worry about that. But the fact that the Congress has met in violation of the law and impeached him in violation because of the fact that they've shut him down so he doesn't have any opportunity to defend himself at all. The fact that they've shut him down like that, the fact that the social media and all those people that are controlled by the globalists have shut him down, the fact that all those things have occurred means that they are all traitors to our government. He is the president today. That's not a quibble. He is the president. Therefore, if they have acted outside the law, and if the, did they vote in the House of Representatives already to impeach?
The vote is over, yes. And
so they voted to impeach. They voted to impeach without any words from the man they're impeaching, without anything. They've shoved him in a corner and prevented him from being any part of anything that's going on. That's not that's against the rules of law. That's against the rules of everything. We're not a dictatorial. We're not a dictatorship. The Congress has become a dictator. I know that it's more than just one person, but that's what they are anyway. They have voted to impeach. That means that that man is up to be impeached without him ever being able to say a word. That's contrary to our business of you're innocent until proven guilty. They didn't give him a chance, but they have voted, and there's a record of who voted for and against impeachment. Now it goes to the Senate. The Senate's going to decide if he's impeached or not. Again, they're not allowing him to come. He's tied down. He's in a bunker somewhere with hogtied. Can't do it. Well, folks, then you really can't impeach because he's not there to defend himself. That's illegal law in our country. We don't call people guilty unless they can prove themselves innocent. We call them innocent unless they can prove themselves guilty or unless they are proven guilty, because they're not going to prove themselves guilty. He is restrained and not allowed to take any part in what's happening. That's not our system of government. That's a dictatorial system of government. That means these people have actually become traitors to the American people. All of them are traitors to the American. And there's no question anymore. You can't say, well, maybe if perhaps maybe this happened over, maybe they felt bad. I don't know. You can't say any of that stuff. They have voted with their goal of destroying President Trump and this United States of America. Their names are on the list as having done that. Goes to the Senate. Their names are on the list as having done that. He's still the president. He could invoke the Insurrection Act tomorrow if he hasn't done it already. He can invoke it any up to the 19th. He can invoke it. When he invokes it, that gives him the authority. That authority will carry beyond, I believe, and of course it's the power who says that authority will go beyond the ragtail stuff that the people who are insurrectionists are doing. You see, insurrectionists can't pass things. They can't do things. So if insurrectionists are doing it, and military tribunals can prove that, civilian tribunals will just mix it all up and make it a mess. But the military tribunals will look at the evidence and decide. And they can, and they won't mess it up. So they will be guilty, and anything that they've done will be null and void. Anything, at any point. One of the interesting things in one of the documents I received was, it didn't say until the 20th, it said until the end of the month. I don't know if that has any significance whatsoever.
With respect to what again?
With respect to the arresting of people and the turmoil that's going to be caused as he begins his arresting of the insurrectionists. That's what this is in relation to.
I gotcha.
The riots that are going to occur as those things are happening, all that stuff. That's the kind of thing those people were talking about in that particular message. Don't get on a plane or go anywhere. Stay home until the end of January, because you could get caught in riots that you don't even mean to be a part of. So don't go there.
I feel like any kind of riot, protest, or whatever, even if it's cloaked in patriotism, is going to be either ripe for or the result of a false flag kind of operation.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's what it'll be. And you'll see American flags. You'll see people that I'm for Trump wearing MAGA pugs, everything. Because the foe, it's a part of that Chinese guy's war manual. Take the part of the enemy and pretend, and then take him over.
Unrestricted warfare is also a good reference tool. That's right. Yes. That's what you were referencing. Yeah, we've got about six minutes left.
Well, I just would like to end with the thoughts. Don't give up. Hunker down. Don't be involved in anything that's going to be illegal, i.e. a riot. Don't go these places. Don't tear down the state capitals. Let the bad guys do those things. so that all don't be a part of any of these things. But when the after the thing is obviously Biden in charge and the world's beginning to collapse, a leader will come. If it's not Trump, I'll be very surprised. A leader will come and he'll call for the militia, the honest militias, to organize with him and take over this country again. That will be a civil war. I don't think we should contemplate a civil war. We'll be shooting each other. I don't want that. I don't think that's right. So I don't believe that Trump will do that. I believe that he will take care of it before the inauguration, before all this happens. That's what I believe. I just can't see this man ducking under the responsibility that we have given him. I can't see it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a minute. It's not his personality. He won't quit on us. Oh, a lot of people who just flagrantly jump around and vacillate. I've got a little statement here. This really applies today, folks. I'm going to read it. We are a nation of uninformed informers. In other words, people are informing us about things they know nothing about. Informing a people, that's us, telling us what they know. And these people have no idea what is right or wrong, but they follow every wind no matter where it leads. Those are the people who are now saying, nah, that damn Trump, he's given us up, he's thrown us to the bus. Now what are we going to do? I wish I'd never had him. That's the ones. Those are the people that follow every wind and don't pay any attention to what's right or wrong or anything at all. They just follow the wind. Don't listen. I don't listen to any of it. I don't allow it in my presence. I don't spend a lot of time reading, listening to the media to see what's wrong. The media knows how to take apart anything and make it be anything they want it to be. Truth or not, they can fabricate it. And they will, because they want you with them. So they're going to fabricate all they can get. And they're going to paint Trump and the Patriots as the worst people that ever walked the face of the earth, probably worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, the absolute wickedest people in the world. Will be painted by those people. Actually, remember this. This is a little phrase I've used to pick out people. Folks usually tell you how bad you are with the same items that are bad in their personality. They will paint you how they see themselves with bad personality. They know they have a bad personality. They know that's not good. They know they will paint you as the thing that they think you are because they think you are because they think they are, or they know they are, or they're of that makeup. They'll paint you with that which they want you to be, which is opposite what they want. You understand what I'm trying to say? People automatically paint folks the way they think they're going to act towards them. Insurrectionists, yes, are called insurrectionists by the insurrectors.
Yes, it's projection. Projection. Thank you. And the other thing, too, is, it's interesting how we look through the lens of our own experiences without really expanding that eyesight or that sight, that vision. It's everything through our own experiences, what makes up our own experiences, or what makes us. We're looking at it through our eyes. We have to, I think, step aside and look at it through the entirety and not limited to our own experiences. What I'm trying to say is don't think something is going to happen based on your own experiences. You have to widen your scope, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But yes, what you said is sufficient, I believe.
You need to put your feelings in, what would I do if I were Trump? Okay? That's what you need to do. Don't criticize him for what you think he should do. Think about what he may be facing to do what he's doing.
True.
Think about it that way. You got to remember, we do not know the circumstances around the things that happen. We never will know them because they will never be printed in history. But the person that's there knows them. He knows what he's facing. So Trump knows what he has to do to make America great, and that's been his slogan since he started. He's not going to quit now because the chips are down. The last second, he's going to pull it out, and he's not going to lose. And that's the pattern, I would say, that we need to watch for. But be ready. Yep,
be ready.
If you need something, be ready, but don't quit.
And you know what? Don't if you feel yourself getting down, pray. And if you are done praying, go for a walk. Take your dog for a walk. and look, because there's life out there, and where there's life, there's hope. And let's never lose hope. Dr. Richard Proctor, thank you so very much. All right, got to go. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Saving the Constitution.
Take care.
Provost Institute.
Good.
All right.